You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to the broadcast of the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. To help you follow along, the order of worship for today's service is available under the radio tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org. The Lord bless you today through the hearing of His Word.
Please stand and face the crucifix. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna.
Let us pray. Most merciful God, as the people of Jerusalem with palms in their hands gathered to greet your dearly beloved Son when he came into his holy city, grant that we may ever hail him as our King, and when he comes again, may go forth to meet him with trusting and steadfast hearts, and follow him in the way that leads to everlasting life, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us go forth in peace.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience and be made partakers of his resurrection through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 32. The Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants when he sees that their power is gone and there is none remaining, bond or free. Then he will say, where are their gods, the rock in which they took refuge, who ate the fat of the sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offering? Let them rise up and help you. Let them be your protection. See now that even I am he, and there is no God beside me. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from Philippians chapter 2. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 22nd and 23rd chapters.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew near, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to put Jesus to death, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, and was of the number of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he consented and sought an opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of a crowd. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where will you have us prepare it?" He said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and tell the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there." And they went and found it just as he told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to question one another which of them it could be who was going to do this. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. And he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors, but not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. For who is the greater, one who reclines at table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I am among you as the one who serves. You are those who have stayed with me in my trials, and I assign to you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me three times that you know me. And he said to him, when I sent you out with no money bag or knapsack or sandals, did you lack anything? They said, nothing. He said to them, but now let the one who has a money bag take it, and likewise a knapsack. And let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors. For what is written about me has its fulfillment. And they said, look, Lord, here are two swords. And he said to them, it is enough. And he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. Being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation. While he was still speaking, there came a crowd, and the man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? And when those who were around him saw what would follow, they said, Lord, shall we strike with a sword? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, no more of this. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and officers of the temple and elders who had come out against him, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house, and Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, "This man also was with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And a little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I'm not." And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, "Certainly this man was with him, for he too was a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you're talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. The men who were holding Jesus in custody were mocking him as they beat him. They also blindfolded him, and kept asking him, "Prophesy, who is it that struck you?" And they said many other things against him, blaspheming him. When the day came, the assembly of the elders of the people gathered together, both chief priests and scribes, and they led him away to their council, and they said, "If you are the Christ, tell us." And he said to them, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man shall be seated at the right hand of the power of God." So they all said, "Are you the Son of God then?" And he said to them, "You say that I am." And they said, "What further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from his own lips."
Thank you.
Then the whole company of them arose and brought him before Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, the king." And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no guilt in this man." But they were urgent, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him, because he had heard about him, and he was hoping to see some sign done by him. So he questioned him at some length, but he made no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him, and Herod, with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then, arraying him in splendid clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day, for before this they had been at enmity with each other. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him." They all cried out together, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas," a man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder. Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus, but they kept shouting, "Crucify, crucify him." A third time he said to them, "Why, what evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him." But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked, but he delivered Jesus over to their will. And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. There followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, Do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments, and the people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God? Since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.
Thank you.
It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. And when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, who had not consented to their decision and action, and he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone where no one had ever yet been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul encourages the church to have the one mind that's already ours in Christ Jesus. The mind of Christ is reflected in his words and in his deeds, and especially in his passion. his journey of suffering and obedience to the cross, which we contemplate this week. In the epistle, we hear about the ultimate sacrifice made by the Son of God to reverse the curse of sin and to save us from eternal damnation. Jesus emptied himself, set aside all the power, the privileges of being Almighty God, and made himself nothing, lowered himself from that exalted position in heaven to our level as a man. Not just a man, but a servant, and not just a servant, but an obedient servant. Not just obedient, obedient to the point of death, but not any death. Death on the cross. This death devised for maximum physical pain and social shame is also a death that God himself called cursed. All of this Jesus did willingly out of this selfless love for mankind, the crown of his creation, who had sinned against him. In the passion of Jesus Christ, we do gain insights into his mind, full of grace, pure grace, and truth. In the narrative we heard in the gospel reading, we also observe what's contrary to the mind of Christ. Some of the examples, Judas did not have the mind of Christ when he allowed Satan to enter into him. He acted without faith for his own self-interest. Peter didn't have the mind of Christ when he's believing that he, on his own, could stand up to the opposition, that he could resist temptation with his own strength and determination. His mind reflects his pride, his ignorance, and his fear of man. The man who held Jesus in custody, they didn't have the mind of Christ as they beat him, foolishly thinking they had some control, some superiority over him. And the many who smugly put themselves over Jesus in his state that he was, mocking and blaspheming him, falsely accusing him, they did not have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is revealed. Get some glimpses of it as Jesus enters Jerusalem. He's humble yet resolute. He knows what this crowd is going to do, that they're going to abandon him. But he's not there to do what they want him to do. He's there to do what they need him to do. The mind of Christ knows he will be betrayed and denied by two of those who are closest to him. He knows the cup of wrath that he must drink, the suffering he will endure. But the mind of Christ is determined, undeterred. He will accomplish what he came to do. The mind of Christ knows the Holy Scriptures that he is fulfilling even in their midst. Jesus knows how he is to enter this holy city and how the people will respond because it's been written about, foretold by the prophet Zechariah. The mind of Christ is clear thinking and engaged. He's working with others in the planning and preparation of his last Passover meal, which he earnestly desires to eat with his beloved apostles before he suffers. The mind of Christ is sound as he gives his last testament before his death as he institutes his holy meal. The mind of Christ is revealed as he cautions his betrayer, as he teaches and serves and encourages his disciples, even while they're, while he's preparing to die, they're disputing amongst themselves who is the greatest. The mind of Christ is revealed in his fervent and repeated prayers in full faith and complete submission to his Father. The compassion of the mind of Christ is evident in his weeping for Jerusalem and his healing, even those who came to arrest him. But how can we possibly have the mind of one who knows no sin? How could we even know the mind of one whose mind is uncontaminated, pure, and holy? We can observe and admire him while he endures intense suffering, while he prays and forgives those who crucify him. We wonder at him who assures the criminals turn to him in faith that the criminal will be with Jesus at that very day in paradise. How can we possibly have the mind of Christ? On our own, it's not possible. Well, no matter how much you desire to be like Jesus and follow in his ways, you cannot gain his mind with your effort. You are not God. You cannot give yourself for the salvation of anyone, let alone the world. If you are to have the mind of Christ, Jesus must give it to you. Amazingly, he wants to do just that. And he does this through himself. In Luke, he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and daily follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." And the mind of Christ is the way of the cross. It is death to self. Selfish desires, selfish gain, any thoughts that we could do anything to earn salvation, to put ourselves over God in any way. It's submission to the Heavenly Father. It's knowing the Scriptures, being obedient to the will of God. It's engaged in clear thinking. It's undeterred by the worldly influence. It's serving and encouraging others, strengthening brothers and sisters in Christ, having compassion for others, even those who persecute us. It's praying fervently, repeatedly. It's knowing the forgiveness of God in Christ, and it is forgiving others. The mind of Christ is given by the Holy Spirit through the Word and the sacrament. We gain the mind through discipleship and learning the full counsel of God. We gain it in focusing on the one who died, the one who did what we cannot do, the one who does what we cannot do. It does not come apart from Jesus and his Word. In your baptism, you've been joined with Christ, and in his death and resurrection, he has given you forgiveness, life, salvation, life in him. Jesus humbled himself from the exalted heights of heaven to being accursed on the cross for you, that you may be saved and found in him. And he wants to transform you into his image, which means dying to self. Paul says it this way in Romans, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." And Paul says in the verses leading up to our epistle text today, he says, if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Jesus did what he did, and he reigns in heaven. He rose and ascended to the right hand of the Heavenly Father over all. And he has made us partakers of his resurrection. It's through this same Jesus Christ, our Lord, as Paul says, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. As Paul writes, "Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. May the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Our hearts full of mercy, the mercy of Christ, that in these holy days we would lift our voices and bow our knees at his holy name, let us pray to the Lord. For Christ's holy church, that she may be defended against her enemies and kept faithful in the confession of Jesus Christ to the nations, let us pray to the Lord. For Christian fathers, that receiving Christ and trusting his atoning sacrifice, they may be enlivened to sacrificial love for their children, let us pray to the Lord. For those who govern, that God would preserve them in life and duty, and for us as citizens, that we may have the will and desire to honor authority as servants of Christ, living holy and upright and godly lives to the praise of God, let us pray to the Lord. For the sick, distressed, and needy, especially Shirley, Fred, Anita, Duane, Dan, Joanne, Lois, Louis, Mary, Harold, Richard, Marlis, Tim, Rick, Greg, Missy, Lacey, Marlene, Kathy, Doris, Mark, Kara, Erno, Anna, Jeff, and Ethel, that God would give them his abiding comfort in every circumstance. Since in Christ we shall not die but live and declare his works, let us pray to the Lord. For those who receive the Lord's Supper, that Christ, who rode into Jerusalem to save us from sin, would prepare our hearts to welcome him worthily in his blessed sacrament, let us pray to the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We praise you, Father, that you sent your Son, not in wrath, but in mercy. As we enter this most holy week and ponder together the mysteries of your great salvation, show us the answer to your people's prayers of Hosanna in the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Receive the blessing of our Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You may be seated as your offering is collected.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father.
Thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue in Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.